my companion, and despair holds me for ransom. I will feel no fear. I know that you are near. When I'm caught deep in the valley, with chaos for my company, I find my comfort here. I know that you are near. My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my weakness, my sickness, my brokenness all on your shoulders, your shoulders.
Dear God, amen. Thank you. All right, now. So here we are back in John, and in the first of John's letters. And it has been a tough letter. And last week we talked about the tests that he's been talking about. The belief or doctrine or truth test. Second one was the obedience test, and the third one is the love test. Now, I found that I had this thing in my head and my heart that was just sticking with it, that there was more to be said. So, I don't know if you follow on Facebook, but there was a super special surprise message last night. So, if there's any more, if you have any questions about that, that might be a good place to go to, because there's certainly an awful lot of... He's just taken us apart, right? In John's letter, he's just taken us apart with all of these questions, with all of these things that start with, if you're not doing this, then you're lying, or you're away, you're far away, you're walking on a big path, you've lost the path. And he's just taken us apart, and there are lots of questions around that. Especially, I find, the obedience one. But that's what we talked about yesterday. But now we start to move forward a little bit. And John, so far, has taken us apart. He's been pretty rough with us. He just said that if you don't love your brother, you're in the darkness. And next week, he's about to say that if you love the world, you don't have the Father's love in you. Now, in all honesty, I thought when we were going to do 1 John, I thought it would be a nice, cushy place to land after, you know, the quarantine and everything. And I thought, here would just be a nice, soft marshmallow for us to just talk about how much God loves us. And it's not that. It's not that. If you're walking this path, he's taking us all apart. He's taking us all apart. So, it's separated into two halves, kind of. So he's just eaten us up, and now he goes to this. First of all, you got to see my picture. We're going to talk about Thor today. Isn't that great? I love that picture. That's from Endgame. So we're talking a little bit about Endgame as well. And I just like looking at the picture. If you haven't seen Endgame, I might ruin it for you. And I'm kind of ruining it just with that picture. But I don't know what to tell you. It's a year. That's not my problem anymore. Okay. Now we can move on. Okay. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. Keep going. I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Now, will you go back to the first two? Now, so, that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. He's just taken us apart with all of that liar, with all of the path, with all of the with all of these tests that we can't possibly pass. And we're probably laid pretty bare. And now, he's coming with this reminder. This reminder of everything that we talked about last week, if you remember. And this reminder of what the most true thing about you in your deepest parts. He's just reminding us. He's reminding us of Genesis 1 and 2, made in the image of God, right? He's reminding us of that shalom, of who we really are. To just, in case you're starting to get off the path and start to think, it's a Genesis 3 story that we're in, he's reminding us that it is not a Genesis 3 story that we're in. It's a Genesis 1 and 2 story. That's where the story starts. So remember. Remember at the deepest parts of you. When you were created, God saw you and said you were very good. Right? Everything else up to that point, everything's good. You know, the stars and the sun and the trees. Everything's good. Good, 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 good. Except for you. You're very good. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. John is reminding us. There's some encouragement here. He's not leaving us in the shame and guilt that we bring, right? The shame, there's no shame in God. Don't ever get confused about that. With all the shame that comes to the party, we bring. So there's no shame. He's talking to us and saying that you're not left in that shame and that guilt. It's a call up. It's a call up. Right here is a call up into something more. It's reminding us of our divine call. It's a reminder who and why. So this beautiful thing. Now, this is the John that I was expecting. You know, not the earlier part where he opens us up. This is the part I was remembering, because his book, his gospel sounds an awful lot more like this. It's that beautiful, the one whom Jesus loved. You know, it's that kind of thing. It's talking about, for God so loved the world. This is more in line with that. So, this reminder, who and why. So now let's start to take a look at it, because you can see there's a pattern, right? You can see there's a pattern. There's three categories: children, young men, fathers. Now, obviously, those are all in the Bible was written by people in a time. So you won't see things like brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers. You won't see things like young men and women. You won't see things like that, because this was written 2,000 years ago. Okay? But we can take all that stuff in. It's not strictly for men, obviously. Okay? And that the Bible gets sometimes such a bad rap. If you see, now some of this stuff looks very, very ancient. Very, very ancient, outdated ideas that I don't think were ever meant there. But what they were seeing at the time were advances. They were clicks. They were clicks forward. And perfect example is the eye for an eye. At the time when eye for an eye came in the Old Testament, it was, if you stole that, you could be put to death. You took something from your neighbor, you could be put to death. So this was a huge step forward, saying if you steal something, then it's just that. The punishment equals the crime. Okay? And then later on, obviously in the New Testament, Jesus said, you've heard that, but I say forgive. So these things have to happen in clicks, because if I tell you that if we go from if you steal your neighbor's donkey, you can be put to death, to, hey, just forgive them, nobody gets that. We can't be expected to get that. It's too big of a jump, right? So this is the way that it's been. There are so many advances with respect to women in the scriptures. Now, it still leaves us very far behind when we read our Bible. It feels like an ancient book. And this is just a good example, because it's saying fathers instead of fathers and mothers. So don't get hung up on that. It's clicks. Okay, he's writing to certain people in certain time at a certain place. You with me? Okay. So we have our three categories. The first one is dear children, and the word for that is technion. Technion, and if you're at home, I'll need you to say that too, by yourself in your room. Technion. Okay, now technion is an infant, or little child. It's a term of kindly address by teachers to their disciples. It is a term to someone who is deeply loved. Think of it how you would address your own children. Right? It's used to describe, in this case, and oftentimes around these spiritual discussions, it is used to describe young, immature Christian converts, people who are brand new to the faith. Now, obviously, this has nothing to do with age, right? Obviously, I remember, this is a personal story, and it was the first time. There was a baseball coach that I had who was an old-time baseball coach. He coached my dad, actually, and then my dad had him come out to give me pitching lessons. And when my dad died, he was in line to see him at the funeral, and he got up to me and he says, "Hey, fat man." And I went, "Oh my gosh, aren't you supposed to get some level of class or age or, you know, couth, maturity as you get older?" And it was at that point that I realized age doesn't have anything to do with any of this, right? Dear children can be 100 years old. Dear children can be 6. Okay, you with me? Just the same as everything else is. You can have a 90-year-old man come in and talk like that to somebody at their father's funeral. Age doesn't give you any kind of thing other than age. With me? Okay. Now, we're going to come back to dear children because there's another dear children and it's a different word. Okay, so we're going to take all of that and look at that all together. The next one is father, which is pater, which comes from kind of pater familias. You hear those words. It's just the word for fathers. And it's a father, now, one who imparts life and is committed to it. A progenitor bringing into being to pass on the potential for likeness. And those are just a bunch of words that don't make sense as I read them out loud. But what you're doing is you're raising someone up. Okay, you with me? It's a nourisher, protector, upholder. It's a teacher. Now, it's closely linked to the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin was like a council of super religious people, and they get such a bad rap from us, but the idea behind the Sanhedrin was much like this father. Now, the Sanhedrin, the members of the Sanhedrin, whose prerogative it was by virtue of the wisdom and experience in which they excelled to take charge of the interest of others. It's what I wanted from that baseball coach, right? Because he lived a long time, he had wisdom, he had experience, right? That's what we're hoping for from the fathers. And again, nothing to do with age. Nothing to do with age. Timothy was a young man, okay? And he was one of the deacons, one of the higher elders in the church, right? So this father situation was one where it was walking alongside of, nourishing, protect, giving people what they need so that they can grow. Now again, we take this all back to John's referring to this age, this progression in spiritual terms. So what he's talking about is you take a young believer, and the term I always use is how to play second base, who doesn't know how to play second base, and they teach him how to play second base. They teach him where to go. They teach him what to do. Here's the situation for this. Do you need any of this stuff? Right? On a bunt, you go here, in our second base analogy. Right? You're teaching someone. You're pulling someone up. You're giving them just what they need so that they can grow into more fathers. Right? Into more nourishers. Into more protectors. That's what we need, right? So that's the idea. You're moving people up in a situation where you don't know. We talked about this so many times before with the commands of the Bible. How are we supposed to know how to be believers? How are we supposed to know how to love somebody unless somebody tells us? How am I supposed to know what it means to live like I'm rescued if I don't know what it means to live like I'm rescued? Right? You with me? How am I supposed to know how to cook eggs if nobody shows me? You need somebody to show you. And that's what these fathers are. So the question is, as we start to talk about these words, some of us, you know, I look around and I see how much of us have experience, how much of us have wisdom. Are we imparting that? Are we giving that away? Are we intentionally raising people up? Are we intentionally walking alongside and showing people how to play second base? Mariah started a new job this week, and there was probably someone with her saying, this is how you play second base. We've all had jobs where you get into them, and there's nobody to show you how to play second base. They say, here's the job, go get it. And then you go, what? I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this job. How am I don't even know what I don't know. Right? So are we giving that? Are we teaching? Are we giving our experience? Are we teaching the wisdom that we have? Are we giving that away? Are we nourishing? Are we protecting? Are we taking charge of the interests of another? Or are we hiding behind that thing that says, well, I still don't know. Are we still chopping ourselves down saying, well, I can't do that. I'm not old enough. I'm not wise enough. I don't have my doctrine together well enough. I haven't played second base for 50 years yet. So how can I teach somebody how to play second base? We've just learned it's not about age, right? It's about intentionality. It's about obedience. It's about openness to step into your call. Now, the scary thing in all this is what he's leading us to is, has anybody ever heard the word quadrados? If you haven't, please reach out. I would love to talk to you about it. It's a four path that's hooked up with the Gospels. There's four paths. Matthew is where you start a journey, okay? Matthew is where you move into it, and I can give you tons of examples with that. Mark is where we run into all the trouble, okay? And every journey, everything we start has all the trouble, okay? And we need to move through that. It's that point where the wheels fall off and we think, what am I doing here? I don't want to be here. But you've come too far already. It's why the book of Mark has so many that are on open seas in the dark where there's storms. Okay? So then we have that. And then in the Jewish reading schedule, it goes Matthew, Mark, John, Luke. Instead of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John like it are in our Bibles. John is where we learn something. We progress. We learn something. There's some kind of enlightenment. There's some kind of revelation. Luke is where we take it back. We've become Jedi Knights, and then we go back into to save the kingdom. Right? We go back to Tikkun Olam, which is repair what's been broken. Right? If we don't take it back and we stop at John, if we take our wisdom and stop right there, if we take the things that we've learned and the experience which have brought us right here, and we stop right there, has anybody ever heard of the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea, the water flows in and it stops. There's nowhere for the water to go. At the end, it just stops and nothing lives in the Dead Sea. Everything dies. Same with your faith. Same with faith, man. We learn these things. We have experiences. The blessing for Abraham was never just for Abraham. It was for Abraham to bless everybody, right? If we stop at John with the enlightenment, with our wisdom, with our experience, with our learning, it's a selfish faith. It's a selfish faith, which is not much faith at all. Nothing gets passed on, and we're just a community of dead seas that are just walking around going, look at me, how spiritual I am. So what? So what? Right? The whole point was for it to flow through Abraham so that the entire world, so that all the nations could be blessed. So those are tough questions, right? Are we just holding it in and thinking about how saved we are? Right? How spiritual we are. How many verses we've memorized. Is that what we're doing? I know. Okay, this gets much, much better today. I promise. But first we got to open ourselves up a little. Okay, next is young man, which is Neaniskos. That's a good one. Neaniskos. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing it. If Tanya was here, she'd say, I don't believe you that one's a word at all. Neaniskos. Now, Neaniskos is a servant, soldier. We can go to the next one, young men. Okay? It's a servant or a soldier. They're physically younger men. This is the only one that applies a little bit in the definition to an actual age. Physically younger men who are younger in the faith compared to the fathers, but strong in the faith. Right? Who abide in the word and who overcome the evil one. Now, think about it like this, okay? Mark is much younger than me. He can stay up all night tonight and go to work tomorrow and be reasonably together. If I stay up all night tonight, you won't want to see me, okay? That's the thing. He can fight all day because he's younger. He's younger. He has that kind of energy in him. That's what the young men are for. The young men are, they fight. They're warriors, right? They're strong. They're much stronger. than me. You know, somebody who's 20 is much, much stronger than me, hopefully, right? And they're ready to go. They're ready to go. Let's get it done. You know that enthusiasm that happens when you're around a group of young people, especially young. Let's go get it done, man. Let's handle it. You need those. You need that group of people to handle it. So the question there is, are we strong? Are we strong? And yes, are we putting that strength to use for the kingdom? Where are we fighting? Where are we fighting? Or are we just fighting? You remember Father's Day. Those young elephants don't know where to fight, so they're just fighting everybody. That's the culture, man. Look around. We have strength, we have passion, we have enthusiasm, and no idea what we're fighting. We're just fighting. That's why we want to fight about every single thing. That's why when somebody cuts us off in the car, we lose our minds because we've been disrespected, because we don't know, we don't have a real battle. Fight Club, the most spiritual movie ever, Fight Club. He talks about, he says, we don't have a war. We don't have a great war. Our Great Depression is our lives. That's the story. When we don't have any story, when we don't have anything to fight for, we're just fighting because we're made to do it. We're made, that aggression in us, that power, that strength is for something. And if we don't have a place to put it, it's going to come out. Look at the stats on abuse. Look at the stats on domestic abuse. If you want to know, that all comes from not having a real fight. So we don't know where to put that. We're just mad all the time. Right? We just walk around being angry that somebody shuts off the air conditioning and we're roasting hot. So, is it just the fight? Are we just having the fight? Where are we using our passion, our enthusiasm, and our energy to bring the kingdom? Where are we using those things? Are we just using it to build bigger barns? Right? Or to show how tough we are? Or to be those young elephants just walking around killing rhinos because there's nothing else to do? Okay. Now, the next one. This second, dear children, is a different word. Pahidion. It's a good one, though. Pahidion. I know I'm pronouncing that right because they give pronunciations. Okay? Pahidion. Now, one who is treasured in the way a parent treasures a child. Technia has more of an emphasis. Remember the first, dear children, has more of an emphasis on the child's relationship of dependence. Pahidion has more of an emphasis on the child's immaturity and need for instruction. Now, we could take this apart forever. If you like that kind of thing, you can look it up. But what we're really talking about is a child. Is a child who is loved and doesn't know how to do it. There are two different words that talk about it. One focuses more on the loved, and the other one focuses more on the, I don't know how to do it. Okay? I'm immature, but I'm really, really, really loved. Okay? That's the dear children. Okay? So, with those, it's cool. It's a cool word. It's a cool space. It's safe. And now, if we're there, are we acknowledging our immaturity? Do we acknowledge that we don't know? Ah, that's a tough one. That's a really, really tough one, because how often do I know everything? Right? Everything. And you can't tell me a thing. That's part of what we're all feeling with the political discourse. Because there are people on each side going, I'm right, rah, and you can't tell me a thing. Are we acknowledging what we don't know? Do we desire to grow? Do we desire to mature and become spiritual adults? Do we desire to move forward on the path Remember, that's what we talked about. That's what John's asking us to do. I don't care where you are on the path, as long as you're on it, man. As long as you're on it, I don't care if your step is like this, or if you're going to run, or if your step is like this, and you know you've been there, right? Even if your step is back a little, stay on the path, man, right? So this with this Pahidions and all of that, how do we take instruction? Sorry to bring that up, because I just think of Mariah starting a new job. Sorry, I know that you don't like that. How do we take the instruction? How do we take it when somebody comes up and says, this is how you play second base? Or do we go, I know how to play second base, when we don't know how to play second base? Right? In schools, they call it a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. Fixed knows it all. Okay? Fixed is what I know now is plenty. Growth is teach me. Teach me. There's so many things. I don't even know what I don't know. So help me out. Man, give me a father to walk alongside of me. Do we know everything? Are we unteachable? Part of the thing we talked about yesterday was that's part of prayer. Part of prayer, the way that it changes us is that where we sit down and we say, we're not the end of this. There's something bigger. There is an authority over us. We're not the end. It's a growth mindset. Okay? So now, and there are lots of things that you can look at that are, now you can go to the next one with all of them. Keep going. There. They're all up there. So we're going to leave them up there just for one more second. There are lots of development, stages of development. But what John's talking about is three. And most of the stages of development that we get into kind of can be grouped into the three. One, infancy, right? We're loved, ideally. We're cared for. And we are very, very immature. And we are dependent, right? That's an infant. That's an infant. Then there's an adolescent. We are warriors. We are warriors. Sometimes my boys fight with me, and I swear they don't know what they're fighting for. Yeah. I say, we're saying the same thing. You just want to fight. You just want to fight with me. And then Sam was the worst. I'm sorry, Sam. He was the worst for it. He was the worst because sometimes he had the aggression, and he'd just fight. And you have to support that. You have to support that because that's given to him. It's given to him. Now we just have to look at where we're doing, what we're doing with it. Where to direct it, because it's not me. Right? Okay, so adolescence, it's the warrior. It's the strength. It's the workers. It's the overcomers. It's the ones on the front line who are fighting, who are doing it. Right? Who are building it. Who are building the structures. And then there's the adulthood, or what we could call the sage. And I have heard that used as a king, okay? A small k king, not the king. It's a king, nourisher, protector, teacher. It's about wisdom. It's about experience. It's about the openness to give it away. Part four of the Quadratos. Luke, you're a Jedi Knight. Take it back. Take a Padawan. Boy, I get too deep in that. How about it? Now you know what I'm about at home. You're going to find out who I am in a second when I start talking about Thor. But the thing is, think about where you are right now. Think about where you are right now. You've heard those words and you're thinking, wow, man, that kind of rung with me, that kind of thing. These things are interesting. And in any kind of spiritual development, it's dynamic. It's dynamic. It shifts. I might be, and sometimes I really feel like I'm just starting. I feel like I'm just beginning. And then sometimes I think, man, I really have some things to give here. Then I learned that maybe I should learn a little more. But still, that doesn't stop me. That doesn't stop us. It's dynamic. It shifts. It moves. It's about a learning. It's about a learning heart and mindset. Okay? And sometimes we're infants. We learn a new idea. We open a book and we see about the cuadrados and we feel like we're 3 years old again because our minds have just been blown. And then we grow. We grow, we move, we fight, we learn all of this. We use our aggression and put it in a positive way. Okay? It's all of this. It's all of this. Now, what I want you to see is there are issues of tense and form. Because he goes from children to fathers to young men. Why does he do that? And what you can do is you can spend the rest of your life looking at issues of tense and form. And it's a rabbit hole that I promise you, well, unless you like it, but I promise you, you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it, so ignore it. Ignore the issues of tense and form. Because maybe your first question is, why does he go from children to fathers to young men? That's weird. Why does he use two different words? That's weird. Ignore it. Ignore those kinds of things sometimes. Sometimes they can give you such depth. This is not one of those times, if you ask me. Just focus on what is actually said here. And what's actually said here is we all get into spaces where we struggle with inadequacy, insecurity, worth, value. Are we enough? Can we do it? And are we worthy? How about it? How about it? Now, Thor. Thor. Now, I'm mostly going to talk about Thor in the MCU. In the see? I'm that guy. In the Marvel Cinematic Universe. In the movies. Okay? I know that there's lots of other things, but Thor is a really, really interesting character, and he has a hammer. And the hammer is given to him, and the words are, whoever's worthy to hold it can wield the power of Thor. And if you've seen Endgame, Captain America can too. It's awesome. But anyway, I'm getting off track a little bit. But this hammer is worthy. Now, the story arc of Thor is one where he learns things. He starts off as a warrior, and he doesn't know what to do with it, okay? And things go spectacularly badly for Thor in lots of places in the movie. And sometimes it's the things that he's done, and sometimes it's just misplaced aggression, okay? What we're about to see is everything's gone wrong. Thor does not look like the Thor of the first several movies we've seen him in. He has long hair. He's gained quite a bit of weight and looks dirty and probably stinky. Okay? And right now he's back meeting his mother. He's had his hammer destroyed, and now they're going back through some time travel and he's with his mother. You don't need to know about any of that. Although I suggest you watch all 22 movies and find out about that. But what you're about to see here is the evolution of a character into, and I would suggest, it's the perfect illustration of this letter that John is writing. The other thing, thank you for not playing it. We have a license to play these things on, I'm talking mostly to people who watch online. We have the license to play this, but Facebook sometimes comes to me afterwards and gives me a bunch of trouble, and I don't want to deal with that. So you're going to hear it, okay, online. You're going to hear it. You might not see it. You see it here. There's different sets of rules in churches. But if you want to see it, it's an Endgame. It's only 3 hours.
This body over there. What was the point? I was too late. I was just standing there. An idiot with an axe.
No, you're no idiot. You're here, aren't you? Seeking counsel from the wisest person in Asgard.
Yes.
Idiot now. A failure? Absolutely.
It's a little bit harsh.
Do you know what that makes you? Just like everyone else.
I'm not supposed to be like everyone else, am I?
Everyone fails at who they're supposed to be, Thor. The measure of a person, of a hero, is how well they succeed at being who they are.
We missed you, Mom.
You're here to repair your future, not mine.
This is about your future.
I'm doing my business.
Hi. You must be Mom. I got the thing. Come on, we gotta move.
I wish we had more time.
No. This was a gift. Now you go and be the man you're meant to be.
I love you, Mom.
And eat a salad.
Come on, we gotta go. 3, 2...
No, wait!
What am I looking at?
Oh, sometimes it takes a second.
I'm still worthy.
Oh, man. I can't take it. I can't take it sometimes. How many times? It's the hardest thing about grace, right? How many times do you just feel like an idiot with an axe? Like you can't get it right. Like you've just messed up again. Like you have no idea. I was kind of hoping the lights would stay up because this is a little close to home. Like you have no idea what you're doing, right? You have no idea. I don't know what's going on. All I know is that I'm supposed to be Superman, yet who I actually am is just a child of God. I say just a child of God, but that's all there is. That's all there is, man, but there are those times where idiots with axes. What John has just shown us in the first chapter and a half is that, yeah, that's right. That's right. We've been trying to be something else. We've been trying to do it all and create this image and have it all together, and we're not. So we've just been exposed a little bit in John's letter. And yet, these verses tell us they are that hammer that still comes, that you are still worthy. You thought you were just watching a superhero, silly superhero movie about time travel, but you were watching 1 John all along. Right? I think that's the point of the commands. I think that's the point of the commands all through the scripture. Stop loving you less. Stop thinking you're just an idiot with an axe, and stop trying to be Superman all the time, right? Stop doing those things that take us apart. That's what sin is, those things that take us apart. Stop that, right? That's what the commands are about. That's what obedience is for. That's what the obedience test is. That's when we get the authority right. We remember who we are. So when we get that right, when John is reminding us who we are and that there's a dignity and an honor to being royalty, right? There's an honor to being children of the king that we are spending a lot of time going, I'm just an idiot with an axe. And I'm doing all of these things. I've gotten so far off the path. When the path is what I'm made for, and the path is where we find our lives, where we find our purpose, where we find our meaning. You wonder why we all struggle with meaning? Because we're off the path. We're off the path doing all of these things that take us apart over and over and over. And then we start to believe the lies of the enemy that tell us that that's all we are. Yeah, you're a failure at being Superman. Yeah, you are. You were never supposed to be. Right? You're royalty. You're children of the king. And so John, he's brilliant. He's brilliant, man. He just took us apart. He just took us apart to show us where we are isn't good enough. It's not good enough for you. That's what he's saying. And then he says, and I'll tell you why. Because, okay, we don't have it anymore. Because, and just go to your verses. Your verses, read these over and over. Your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. You have overcome the evil one. These are the things he's saying. Your dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Not because, your dear children, your sins have been forgiven. Fathers, you know who he is from the beginning. Dear children, you know the Father. Young men, you've overcome the evil one. Remember who you are. Right? And he's reminding us. Right? Think about all those things where we're just looking to see if we're enough. We're just trying to be enough. We're overrun with the inadequacy or the insecurity. That question that just runs, man, it runs. Am I going to be enough? Can I do it? John is setting that straight here. He is saying, you are forgiven. You know God. You have him in you. You have and will overcome. That's what John is saying here, man. The philosopher Barclay says, John has been warning his people of the perils of the dark and the necessity of walking in the light. And now he says that in every case, the best defense is to remember what they are and what has been done for them. No matter who they are, their sins have been forgiven. No matter who they are, they know him who is from the beginning. No matter who they are, they have the strength which can face and overcome the evil one. Whew! It is not often that you can read something that sounds like someone is preaching, right? But that's what's happening. When those voices and when those doubts attack, in every case, the best defense and probably the best offense is to remember who you are and what has been done for you. This is the space where we rest in him. We're all anxious, we're all tired, we're all exhausted from trying to be enough. I get it. I'm there with you. I know that feeling, that how tired it is. I know how, it's a soul tired, man. It's a soul, it's not your body, it's your soul. I know it. And when Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and that, I believe, is what he means. Those chains of enough, of can I do it, of am I ever going to be good enough? And he says, come to me and you'll have rest. Rest. Can you imagine rest? Can you imagine peaceful rest? Some of us can't. Sometimes I can't. But this is that space where we rest in him. There's been work to do. The first part of John is work to do. There's been work to do, and there's more coming. Next week it's not going to be nice. I can tell you it's not going to be a nice feel-good rah-rah message because he's going to talk about the world. Right? There's work. We've had work, and there's more to do. But for now, and that thing that you can stamp on your heart and carry with you for all of the work, beginning to end. Remember why you do any of it, why you get out of bed, why you give, why you fight, why you care, why you love, why you're alive. That's what John is saying right here. Yeah, I know it hurts. I know you're broken. I know it feels like a lot, but remember any of it. Remember all of it. Right? And just as a little tidbit, the answer to all these, remember why you do any of it, why you get out of bed, why you give, why you fight, why you care, why you love, and why you're alive, that answer is Jesus. That answer is the gospel. And he's reminding us of all of that because sometimes it hurts, right? Sometimes it's really, really heavy. And sometimes we just feel like we're idiots with axes. But that hammer still comes, doesn't it? That hammer still comes. Amen.
You're faithful forever. You're faithful then. You're faithful now. You're faithful forever. You're faithful forever. You're faithful.
Do today is we're going to go into communion, and this will be the first time that we've done this in the pandemic, so things are going to look a little bit different. You can sit for just a second. Just a reminder of what communion is, okay? Just like everything else, there's so many levels, and it's a physical representation of a spiritual reality, of a spiritual event. There's no magic in the bread and the juice or the wine. So if you don't have it or you decide not to come up, that's cool. That's cool. It's just the physicality. We engage in it because of the physic, because our bodies and our spirits and our souls are so closely linked. That's what Jesus coming tied up for us. Okay? So how we're going to do things is just like before. You're going to come down the middle aisle, except I'm not going to be anywhere close. You're going to come up here. You are going to grab a piece of bread and a cup of juice and try not to finger up all the other ones. Okay? Just one, unless you're getting for someone else. So you'll get that. You'll continue on. Please wear your masks when you come up and then sit down, and we will go back to our seats and we'll go from there. As always, if you choose not to, there's no judgment. You don't have to. Everybody's got their own level of comfortability with this pandemic. So there's no judgment for anywhere. Please take the bread. On the last night of Jesus' life, he's sitting with the disciples, and he broke the bread. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." We do this because he tells us to. He says, "Do it in remembrance of me," and in him, and we remember. We remember. We do these things physically to remember. To remember. And at the same time, it is our way that we say yes. It's our way that we say yes to the invitation to come to the table. To come to this beautiful, holy table. This is where we say yes. We come to the table with him. And we come to the table, we see over and over, it's broken for you. It's poured out for you. No matter where you've gone, no matter what you've done, no matter where you think that you've messed everything all up, this is where we come to the table. We say yes, and we sit with him, still worthy. Amen. Everybody have a great week. If you need prayer, there'll be a couple of us up here.